On the road again, like a band of gypsies, we go that. This is not working.
No, it's working. It's working.
On the road again, like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway. We're the best of friends, insisting that the world keep turning our way. And our way.
That's all we needed. That's all we needed, Weston. Honestly, that's all we needed, man.
That's the blackmail piece for later.
Yeah. No, everyone appreciates when they listen to the show. They get it. They understand it, why people are doing it. Yeah. I've gotten a lot of people saying, what's with all the contractors singing? I don't understand that part.
Contractors are not a musical bunch, usually.
No, they're not. You'll get the one ringer here, you know, every so often coming out of the woodwork, literally, and just like,
really?
Where did that come from, man?
Like, well, you should be in a bar somewhere.
There's some skill. Oh, you know what? You've been on job sites. Everybody's always kind of singing a bit tune here or there.
Yeah, there's always some contractor on the site's always jamming something, you know.
Yeah. So that's why we make them do it on this. That's hilarious. That's how it is.
I don't know if I was supposed to know that, but I totally was not.
I thought I may
ready.
Have mentioned, or no, when we first met at the event there, I think I probably mentioned it to you that we do that, and everybody was asking me, how are you ever going to get contractors to agree to this? And here we are, 500 plus shows, and I'm like, yeah, we can get contractors to agree to it.
You just got me to sing it. I was totally not ready to do that.
Well, Weston, welcome to the studio, man. Thanks so much,
man. This is pretty awesome.
I know you just did the IG video. You're walking around here, and it's a nice little space. We like our little space here.
It's awesome.
And just come in, and we sit down, and we talk construction is what we do.
This is my dream. I want to do a space like this. It's funny. Like, you got the black wall, this lighting. This is exactly what I want to create.
It works.
For our own podcast.
It totally works, right? Yeah. I like it that it's just... I'm a contractor that is at a desk now.
Yeah, right.
Which is inevitable, I think, for a lot of contractors. If you want to make your business grow, you eventually will be at a desk.
That's right.
Growing your business.
If you want to own a business and not just own a job, you are going to end up at a desk.
It's true.
Yeah.
Let me share the deets here. I got Weston Zimmerman here, co-founder of Synced Up. You can reach them at synkedup.com. You can reach him at weston@synkedup.com. Their phone number is 814-383-1900. Find them on social media, on IG at Synced Up. Also under the same name on Facebook and LinkedIn. And what's the one, I guess the one sentence that you can describe Synced Up with?
So contractors, and we lived this, and contractors...
You come from the industry.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So contractors lose profit in two ways. They either screw up the math, or we screw up the estimate, or the how many hours we think it's going to take, 100%. The production output.
Yeah.
And so Synced Up solves both of those. We solve the math first, then we track to make sure that the original estimate is actually correct or allows you to still make a profit. And if you don't make a profit... Synced Up tells you and shows you exactly why, so that you don't repeat. The idea is it's okay to make a mistake once. You don't want to repeat it.
How often did you find tradespeople willing to let you know that they keep making mistakes on every single job?
Well, I mean,
it's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, it
right?
is. And it's one of those things that you admit you don't have your act together, and that's tough to do. But eventually the pain trumps the embarrassment.
Very true.
You know, and eventually you get to the point where desperation kicks in, or you're like, man, I screwed up for the 10th time and I'm out of cash and I got to figure this out. So I have to go ask for help, or I have to admit that I need to change what I've been doing.
Is it when they sit down, they start doing their own numbers, their own math, and they start realizing I'm not making money?
Unfortunately, the first indicator that hits their cognitive awareness is when the bank account's empty. Which is a very, very, very lagging
panic
indicator.
Yeah.
It's like by the time that you are looking at your bank account saying the cash I thought should be there is not there, that's probably months down the line of the original mistakes that contributed to that. And so the idea with Synced Up is to move that awareness of like, I know before the job's even done that I'm off or on track. The bank account doesn't even know about it yet.
Yeah.
You know? And so that what that gives you is the power to react in real time and really lessen the blow of mistakes you did make and not make them again.
So I always like, Weston, finding out your history, where it all started, because you came from the industry on the hardscape side? Or
kind of both. Like, we were outdoor living, high-end outdoor living. My specialty was a lot of water features. Like, I really kind of loved building the water features. I loved the creative aspects. We actually won, years ago, I kind of set my eyes on this award that Aquascape gives out. They're one of the leading manufacturers of water feature products in the world. And so they give out this award called Artist of the Year. And 10, 15 years ago when I was starting to build water features, like, dude, I want to get
you
that.
You want to chase that. Okay.
And so 2017, we actually got it. We were awarded that award. And
good for you guys.
Yeah. So that was probably...
How'd that feel?
That, well, it was awesome. Like, that's probably the... If there was ever an award out there in the industry that I wanted to win, it was that one.
What was the... What was the project that you did? Like, what?
Well, it's the way that award works is past Artists of the Year winners vote in the next one. So it's not really like any one project.
Okay.
It's more of like, well, this is with art. It's like anybody can get lucky once or a few times and do something really artistically beautiful. But to master it means you can replicate it. Yep. And again and again and again. So it's not really any one project.
It's that your portfolio.
It's your portfolio. Yeah.
What period of time? Like annually?
Yeah, annually.
Mm-hmm. Really? Huh? Mm-hmm. And when's the award given out? At the end of the year?
At the annual Aquascape event in Chicago called Pondemonium.
Pondemonium?
Yeah. If you know the...
I'm assuming this is a big event.
Oh, yeah. There's a monstrous probably 500-600 people. I think at its peak, there was over 1,000 people there before the 08.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do you guys get? Like a trophy? You guys?
Yeah, there's a little trophy. It's in my office.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
And what's most fun about it is you're kind of... You kind of get invited into this club, so to speak, and you get invited to these special projects. Like we did all the artists of the year got invited to a huge project for Shaquille O'Neal down in his home in Georgia.
Okay.
And we did a huge, beautiful koi pond stream, custom fountainscape. It's all on YouTube. Like you can, I did it on the Tusky Landscaping YouTube channel. That was back in the day. That Shaquille O'Neal project was in the years that we were starting to begin to build Synced Up internally inside of Tusky Landscaping, but
you
we had launched
to see
it.
The issues that were yeah. needed to be well, addressed.
We were living these issues inside of Tusky Landscaping, and sure, you can spreadsheet your way through some of these problems, but it was like there's got to be we had a vision for a better way, and so we had started building it for ourselves. But so the reason I'm a co-founder, not a founder, is I didn't have the money. I was an employee working a yep. normal job of at Tusky Landscaping, and so the owners of the Tusky Landscaping company. Put up the money to build the prototype, and I took it to market.
Nice. And they're still working with you
yeah.
to this day. So we're talking like, what, 15, 16 years ago?
So I started with them in 2007.
Wow.
As a 16-year-old kid.
Holy.
Yeah. And today, Tusky Landscaping is still running like it always has. My cousin took my place on the water feature building crew. I trained him in, and today, so training him in and kind of letting, like replacing myself in the field, I kind of had to do that, what so many contractors struggle to do, right?
Yeah.
And so that is what gave me the pathway to focus full-time on Synced Up and Synced Up being my full-on gig.
So what was the first step when you started coming up with the idea of Synced Up, where you're sitting down? Because obviously, did it come to you on the site or did it come to you at home after the site, realizing that things are not lining up here properly?
Well, so as I mentioned, I was an employee. And where the way it kind of started was kind of from the field up, like from the bottom up. So while I was an employee, Steve and Matt, the owners of Tyson Landscaping, and even some of the key salespeople that were making sure that, hey, am I bidding this job correctly? We're going to seminars and events like the one I'm teaching tomorrow at Landscape Ontario, right? Okay. Doing workshops and understanding the numbers. What are the KPIs you need to be tracking?
Yeah.
So they were doing that. Charles Vanderkoy was an individual that did a lot of these events of teaching business finance and how to charge correctly.
All relevant to construction, by the way.
Yes.
People don't realize how relevant this is.
100%. You can be the best craftsman in the world. Exactly. If you can't make money, it's a hobby.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was not really part of that initial pursuit of Tusky Landscaping fixing its numbers, so to speak.
Okay.
I was out in the field doing the work. And I was like, hey, I need to get off of paper because things were slipping through the cracks. We needed better systems. And so I got a product off the market that we really loved actually out in the field, but it had zero abilities with numbers. So it was a scheduling and invoicing thing. It had nothing to do with like, am I charging the right price? Am I, you know, and so then went to another workshop and we started using a product that was actually embodied some of the Charles Vanderkoy principles.
Okay.
Actually was designed to build a company budget, to dictate your overhead recovery and plan for profit. Great on that aspect, but it didn't do so well out in the field. So we had this this odd kind of
world. Why didn't it do so well on the...
Just the mobile app was not good. And,
okay.
And the information that the crew needed out in the field was just not available in the mobile app. And it was just...
I mean, this is 2007, this 2008. Was
in, well, no, this...
Oh, this would have been later on?
Yeah, this is later on. This is like in the 2010 to 2015 era. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then, but basically you're coming up with something new that's applying to the construction industry. You're going to realize that there's going to be a little bit of pitfalls.
Absolutely.
Like yeah. it's inevitable. They're coming. You're just trying to figure out when and where and how to deal with them.
So exactly. So what we were doing is we had this bit budgeting and estimating software to create the original bid.
Okay.
Then we were entering all this job details into the other app that we still liked for out in the field because it gave us this information we wanted out in the field through a mobile app for the crew.
Okay.
So they knew what was up and what was on the schedule. And then when that all got said and done, the original budgeting and estimating app didn't do any job costing. So we were doing that in manual spreadsheets. So we were in this.
You're on three different planets, right?
It's terrible. Plus QuickBooks yet.
Yeah. And then you're trying to connect everything together too.
So what happened, what was the catalyst is my dad was in telecommunications all his life. He sold his company right about during this time frame. He sold it in 2012.
Okay.
He went to go work for the company that bought him out. And that company had a software development division in it. And I remember coming home from work one day in the middle of this, like we're in spreadsheets, we're in this product, we're in that product. And it's just like double and triple data entry and things are lost. And I came home from work one day and my dad was sitting on his back patio working on his laptop. He was clicking around on some graphs. And I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm testing a custom software project that we're building for a client. And I was like, really? Like you can just kind of like say, I needed to do this and then build that? And he's like, yeah. And so that's where the light bulb went off for me. And I turned around and went back to the owners of the Tusky Landscape and was like, hey,
here's something.
Let's build this. Because this is not, I believed Tusky Landscaping was motivated because they wanted to solve the problem for themselves. And there really was no off the shelf product on the market anywhere at that time.
Yep.
For any of this or in under one roof. Right. And so, I saw this is not just a Tusky Landscaping problem. This is an industry problem common to all contractors. And so I had this vision of like, this is sure we want to solve this for Tusky, but there's an opportunity here. Yeah. Like this is a cool idea.
Yeah.
And, it was probably, you know, looking back on it now, it was probably one of the most naive things we've ever done because the reality is what I know now is it takes tens of millions of dollars to build good software and a small $2 million landscape company, the numbers don't make sense. So either you're going to be a software company or you're going to be if you're not going to be a software company, just buy something off the shelf, try to get as high, it hits 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 of your objectives, and figure out workarounds for the rest. Because it's, looking back now, it feels like an absolute miracle that we pulled it off. We poured so much money into it and actually got it to the point where it solved a problem efficiently and effectively enough that people were willing to give us money for it before we ran out of cash.
Yeah.
Like that's a gamble, man. Like that was one of the most, it's one of the most naive things we ever did, but I believe things are meant to be, and I have no regrets. It's just that I look at the risk that we just squeaked by.
So, Weston, I mean, how do you navigate those waters? Like, how did you? And I want to connect this to construction because you get to a point as a contractor, you try and you try and you try, and in the early days it grows and you do well, word of mouth, and then you plateau.
Yeah.
Something happens.
You run
into
the,
and you just, you run out of steam for whatever reason, even though you're still feeding it and you're still giving it all your, everything you have, but it's not growing. And then you're trying to figure out where my losses are, where my efficiencies are, what's going on, like what's really happening here. And then you have that point, like I'm sure you guys had too as well. It's like, is this going to work? Is this not going to work? Like, how do we move forward without it knowing if it's going to work or not? How did you guys navigate those waters and then try to also understand the contractor too, who's going through similar things?
Yeah. So, I mean, there was definitely a point about 3 years in to building this thing where we were, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in at this point, and we were just like, are we going to pull the plug or are we going to keep going? And that's where I kind of raised my hand and said, hey, I want to do this.
It's a fair question to ask at that time.
Yeah.
To answer it though, that's a different, like you got, it's a tricky answer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. And put it this way, the truth is it was impossible for me to continue doing what I was doing in the landscape company and say, I want to do this in the software, which comes back to my original point of, you know, the people, I hear this time and time again on industry Facebook groups or whatever, like where, we didn't like that. We didn't like this. We're going to go build our own thing. Same thing we did. But I'm like, wow, you know what it's like to start a business.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wish what we had to go through and the risk we had to take on my worst enemy. But at the same time, I mean, that's what America is.
But that's what you came up with ideas. Yeah. That's what you came up with, a bunch of new ideas.
It's basically like, don't risk the business that you have on a gamble. Like, you should be able to lose the whole thing and survive. If you can lose the whole thing and survive, then that's okay.
Yeah, but this is construction. First of all, if you do lose the whole thing, what you don't lose are the lessons that are attached
to it. And your skills.
Yeah. Right? That's just it. Yeah. So don't look at it like it's a complete loss at that point. Mm-hmm. You're still going to be a much better person or company moving forward from that moment on. You just have to figure out how you want to look at it. That's all it is, right?
Yeah, that's right. And we chose to look at it in such that we want to spin off a software company off of this. And that's what we went back with vengeance on that mission. And by the grace of God, here we are.
When was the tide that it started turning? How long ago that you started realizing,
so
this is working now?
Where it was working now?
Yeah.
Probably not until last year.
Really? Huh? Mm-hmm. So it's been a long haul.
Yeah. We started in 2016-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the first 4 years, we just used it internally. Just to kind of build out the system, work out the kinks and all that.
But eventually you had to take it to market.
And we took it to market. Yeah. We waited too long to take it to market, honestly.
Yeah.
4 years is, you know, too long. But when we did take it to market, we beta tested it with a group of contractors and things went pretty well. And then we basically got our first 100 customers off of Facebook groups. Just people asking the questions of, hey, how do you price this? How do you price that? And I was just keyboard warrioring, how, like, genuinely coming in like, well, this is what you do, like adding value and be like, and by the way, this is how we did it in our company.
Yeah.
Here's the product we built for it. And that's how we got our first 100 customers.
It started from there. And that was 2016?
Well, that would have been 2020 is when we opened it up.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So we're going into our fourth year.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
All right. So now, do you want to walk us through it? Like, so then people can get an idea of it. Like,
yeah.
So then we've been talking about how it all got started and some of the hardships behind it, but okay. So
basically what the software does is it goes into, the first thing we have to do is establish what do you need to charge to cover your costs and your overhead and still make a profit and pay yourself as the owner.
Yeah.
And which is an overhead.
Should always be the first.
Yeah. Well,
it's always the last.
Yeah, exactly.
We know how it is. Now, what I love is you guys started this as a landscape hardscape, but this is relevant to all trades.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, contractors are selling time and material.
Yes.
And so
same thing.
From a functionality standpoint of how the software works, it's the same thing. Like whether you're putting in wire for an electrician or pavers for a hardscape contractor or lumber for a builder, it's same the same
thing.
Principle.
Same thing.
Yeah. So where it all starts and the core and the foundation of what Synced Up is determining what do you need to charge? Because two contractors, Contractor A and Contractor B, can go bid the exact same job for the same customer with the same scope of work and the same materials, and their price are not going to be the same, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And the reason is because Contractor A might be a few guys in a truck and they have very little overhead and they're just, you know, it's the overhead structure is clean, and so there's not as many dollars required to recover that overhead expense. Whereas another company may have a fleet of equipment, a team of crews, and it's just a whole different model, much higher overhead.
Yep.
And so all these things, what it pans out to be is like, you shouldn't really, like your numbers is your numbers. Like if your insurance bill goes up, guess what? That impacts your numbers. And so,
and it should, by the way.
Yeah, and it should, right.
You shouldn't be ignoring it because that's taking out of your profitability.
And to that point, to answer that question of like, let's not worry about what your competition is charging. Let's ask what you need to be charging. And what we do is what's on my screen right here is we go through and we basically plug in all of your direct labor costs, every person that works for you and how many hours they work, all of that.
Doesn't matter how small or how big the number is. Administrative, no. If it's laborers,
doesn't matter,
right?
Yep.
If they're a labor expense, they're a labor expense.
That's right. And okay. And we also put in how many hours are unbillable. So for instance, let's say you are a landscaper, it's a rain day, can't go out and work. So you let the guys wash the trucks and clean up the shop and go home early.
Yeah.
Well, that's hours that you're paying for on payroll, but you're not getting production done.
No.
So that has to be factored in. These are budgeting, which is what's on my screen right now, is there are so many hidden costs that don't show up on a balance sheet or a profit and loss that they can really wipe you out.
They belong to four letters, right?
Yeah, it's
miscellaneous.
Yes.
That's where they belong to. Everyone is so quick to just take that whole group and put it right into MICA, right?
Which I know. I argue that shouldn't even be a category.
No, I agree with you totally, 100%. But every contractor I know has that.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't want to categorize it. Yeah, they don't want to break it down. They don't want to realize that that's an expense.
So things that can rob you dry or milk your company dry of profit is things like not factoring in depreciation costs of your equipment.
Oh, very good one.
And the unbillable labor example I was just giving you. Because like you on the books, it looks like, oh, I had $100,000 in payroll expenses. But what you don't know is 10% of that was for washing trucks.
Yeah.
A change in oil, whatever it is that you're, very true.
The sooner you start paying attention to these figures and categorizing them, the better.
Exactly, 100%. Because here's the principle or the truth is that every dollar that your business spends that was not accounted for, your profit or what was supposed to be your profit goes to pay for it.
Yeah.
And that happens by death by 1,000 cuts. That happens in too many different areas.
Yep.
It can literally make you go backwards. You win a job, you think you're making money, and you're losing money by doing the job.
Yep.
And that is the chronic problem of small business contractors across North America. And that is what we try to automate and fix. And the way we automate and fix it on this budgeting tool is it's like, this is the way I frame it to every contractor that comes in here. Just tell the software every dollar your business spends.
Yeah.
That's it.
Simple as that.
And then the software does the math.
Do we not, as contractors, collect every single invoice or receipt? Do we not crumple them up and have them in our pockets? Do we not make a note of every single one of them? So it exists. They're there.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was an expense. You either took it out of your account, you put it on a credit card, you came out of cash. It's there. But why are you not identifying it, though?
Right. And the ones that are really sneaky are the other two that I named, like the unbillable labor and the depreciation, because there never was a receipt.
It's true.
Those are the ones that the people are like, oh, I never thought about that.
How many businesses are actually noting on billable hours? Like
every one of our
you guys now, but I'm saying in general, not many.
I would say less than 5%.
Probably.
Yeah, less than 5% are actually paying attention to it.
And you get, I mean, up here in Canada, even in the States, like you get a lot of seasonal businesses that have,
which is huge. Yeah. Huge. But here's a cool thing. Like, so what's a big challenge in the construction industry? Retaining labor, especially in seasonal businesses, because you don't work for 3 months, you put them on unemployment. And guess what? Spring comes around and they found better work.
Yeah.
And so
they needed to survive.
So what a lot of the companies are doing that we work with are saying, hey, I want my team to thrive here. Like, I want them to build their career here. I don't want to be returning or turning over employees every year. And so what they do is they say, sure, we have 9 months of production, but I'm going to put in the three months we're not working. I'm going to put in my budget, the dollars to pay you during those 3 months. I'd rather pay you to do nothing and have you come back and retain that skill and that talent and give you the ability to actually build a career and have a family and pay down a home. As opposed to trying to reinvent the wheel every single year.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And so, that's actually what Tyson Landscaping did. Back when I was still an employee there, is like, I got paid year round. And of course, then you find ways to leverage as much as you can. Like, whatever, let's redesign this job trailer. Let's have meetings and rethink about how we stage materials. Yeah. Like, you know, you find
for
a way.
The season.
Yeah, you're preparing. You're working in the off season to just be as efficient as possible when it's game time.
Yeah.
And, but what happens is it takes a massive stress off of your employees because they can just rest in that confidence that they can budget because their income is steady and you get the benefit of not having to hire new people.
Can you, with your software here, can you actually take those unbillable hours and actually, I guess, spread it across the billable hours?
Yeah, well, that's what happens.
That's exactly what
happens. So when I type in a value here in the unbillable hours, what happens is the budgeting software sees that and it knows that my cost per hour for this employee is the 35.
Yeah.
So it's taking that cost and baking it right into the overhead expenses of the business behind the scenes.
Oh.
So basically, when I get done, I plug in all my labor, basically, which is all the people that work for me.
Yeah.
Then I plug in all my materials, like my direct costs.
Yeah.
Then I plug in all my equipment, and here's where we're naming and accounting for the depreciation expense. And what I mean by that is you pay $75,000 for a new truck, or that's what its replacement cost is. You plan on keeping it for 5 years and you sell it for 35. I'm just using fake numbers.
Yeah.
Well, that means that you take the price that you paid for it minus the price that you're going to sell it for when it's end of life for you, divided by the years that you're going to use it, and then you have $8,000 a year of depreciation. And guess what? That doesn't show up anywhere in your P&L unless you're paying a monthly payment on a loan or something.
It doesn't show up.
Yeah.
It doesn't show up.
And so you see how quickly this can add up? Like, look, in this fake budget, there's $43,000 of depreciation on equipment alone on this $1 million business.
But you can do that for every single item. So if you start thinking about all your tools.
Yeah.
All your large tools, small tools, simple
laser
tools,
levels,
everything.
Yeah,
you start realizing
concrete mixers, anything.
Are you also adding in potential theft?
So anything, basically
you
anything.
You can create any.
Yeah,
okay.
Anything that I predict or project or anticipate as an expense into the business, I will put in here. So if I'm like, dude, I'm losing $20,000 a year in tools to theft.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put that in here. 100%, I am. And so here's what I like to do. Like, kind of to that point, I always like to flip it the other way too, and be like, what's fun? This is the most fun thing about budgeting. After you're done putting in all the expenses that you know you have, stop, go back, and enter your wish list too. I wish I could buy that new truck. I wish I could hire that office admin. I wish I could spend this money on marketing.
And it will tell you what you need to achieve, really.
It's like, well, then the math is automated. So it's like, now you put your wish list in. You didn't buy it yet. You didn't spend the money yet, but you put your wish list in. So now when you go bid a job, it's based on those expenses, both current and anticipated expenses. So basically, if I sell the job, there's my permission to go spend that money. Like, the market has responded and said, yeah, sure, I'll give you the work at this price, and now I have permission to go buy that truck. Or,
wow, I like that.
The wish list factor of budgeting is the most fun thing.
Yeah, because now you're growing the business.
Yeah, now you're dreaming. Now you're not. It's abundance thinking versus scarcity thinking. It's like, now I'm switching the switches in my brain to be like, oh my, I can't spend this money. Like, oh, this is too much, and this is going to drive me out of the market. It's like another way I describe it is the budget dictates your floor. You can never charge a nickel less than what the budget tells you, but you can always charge more. The only thing that dictates your ceiling is the market. As long as you can sell the
competition.
Work. Yes.
Yes. Do you dread the office? Are you spending your personal time on paperwork? Join the club. The good news is there's a solution that isn't hard or overwhelming. With SyncedUp's estimating and job tracking software, you can plan for it and hit your profit goals, all while cutting your estimating time by up to 90%. Do you know where your money is going? Are you sure you're even making money? SyncedUp will show you exactly where your money is going with its simple budgeting tool, revealing those cash leaks so you can take back control of your business. Do you wonder if all those payroll hours are making you money or costing you money? SyncedUp tracks your unbillable labor, helping you optimize for project efficiency and ensuring each job is profitable. At SyncedUp, they're here to help contractors thrive, not just survive. Get a budgeting consultation with a SyncedUp expert looking over your shoulder to help you optimize your company's budget for free using the link in the show notes. If you love what you see, you can use the TCL discount and get 20% off on your first 6 months. Annual plan is required. Just click on the link in the show notes to book your call with the sales team and mention the TCL podcast. Check out SyncedUp.com and at SyncedUp on IG to level up your business.
Yes.
Here's a question for you, Weston. Are you able to do the same depreciation model on employee labor? What I mean by that is, who's more productive? Not everybody's a rock star, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if someone's more efficient than another person, can you factor that in where if I do this one job and I send this crew, I know they'll take X amount of time. But if I send this other crew, they'll take maybe a little bit more, a little bit less time. Can I dance around that?
Yeah, well, where I would be pulling those levers is when I'm bidding the job.
Okay.
So I'm saying I'm sending my best crew out on this, so I know production will be X.
Yes.
Or I'm bidding another job over here where I'm sending my less efficient crew, so production will be Y.
Yeah.
And so yes, but not at the budgeting level.
Okay.
At the budgeting level, probably those guys are not getting paid as much because they're not producing as much. So
yeah.
From the budgeting aspect, yes, in as much that
you can do it.
I'm entering different numbers.
Yes. Here. Yeah. Okay. But I get it. Yeah. You can do it.
And so basically, so we got labor, materials, equipment, subcontractors, and then overhead. And the overhead is literally, this is where people most often, it's like we have this chart of accounts here as a sample. Of course, you can continue to build and delete and add your own.
They forget more things than they remember.
But it's crazy. When we were starting Synced Up, I would often ask people, like, I was trying to be quick and dirty and get them on the off on their way. And I was like, so what's your total overhead expenses in a year? And they'd be like, $200,000.
So I was like, such an easy and even number.
Yeah. And I'm just like, they're $1.5 million business and I just know it's not true. So I'm like, okay, hang on a sec. Let's go down through. And I did this. What about website? What about advertising? What about marketing? What about uniforms? What are client gifts? It's crazy how many times they would give me a $200,000 number at the beginning of the call. And at the end of the call, we were at 420.
Were you always, reality was always higher?
Always.
Always higher.
Always. It was never less.
So the real question is, where's that $200,000 going? It's loss in property. Well, that profitability is what it's lost.
Well, yeah, with the dollars that were supposed to be your profit go to pay for it. And what I like to do is after I'm all done putting all this fun, right down to my cell phone bill, everything is in here. What I like to do is down here at the bottom, I just have a line item for like fudge factor. At the end of the day, I'm just going to plug in like, you know, unanticipated expenses, like opportunities come up, the truck became available or whatever. Like I don't want what was supposed to be my profit go to pay for those things. So I just put in a fudge factor of 10% or whatever. And that way I know that even in I'm budgeting worst case scenario, essentially. Yeah. It's kind of like there's two principles when budgeting. Worst case scenario, like I think I'll spend $20,000 in fuel. I'll put 25. I think I'll spend $5,000 in credit card processing fees, I'll put in $7,500. Like I like to think of worst case scenario.
But you're also anticipating what the market's going to be happening 6 months down the line. Fuel goes up, expenses go up, and then you're not caught.
That's right. Because exactly. And so basically there's the worst case scenario aspect and then there's the wish list aspect. And when you have both of those like parallel thoughts pouring into the numbers you're plugging into the budget, then you get to flip over to the last slide here on this budget.
And that list, that overhead list, that's as long as you want to make it.
Yeah, you can keep on adding.
Keep on adding stuff.
Basically, make it match your chart of accounts.
Okay.
You know, that's the way I like to think of it, and which kind of comes back to, I'm shocked at how many contractors don't have any accounting system. They hand their account, their CPA, a shoebox full of receipts.
I know.
Or their bank statements.
I know, and that's how it is.
Yeah.
I know.
But anyway, what the software does then is it tells me exactly what my cost per man hour is. Then by the time it factors in overhead recovery and profit, which I think over here.
So if you're looking at a tradesperson's cost at $27.44 per hour, it's actually costing you as a business owner $77.
That's what you have to charge to be profitable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And so this is what's
fun. A lot of
new
kids don't understand that.
No, that's right. Here's what's fun.
It's almost triple, huh?
Yes. Which actually is a pretty good rule of thumb.
Triple, it is. It's generally around it, but they don't realize that.
No. But here's what's fun. This is what's fun about budgeting is I stop stressing about the numbers. The numbers just take care of themselves. They're automated. And so like, let's say I get a new bill for my insurance policy in the mail and it went up by 20%. Well, guess what? That means that you're going to have to raise your rates to cover that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what was supposed to be your profit goes to pay for it. So watch me go into the software. I go back to my overhead. I'll find my insurance. Right there it is. Let's say it went from 8,000 to 10,000. I come back to my man hour rate. It went up by about 60 to 80 cents, just that $2,000 difference in my insurance bill. So you see how I'm saying it? It's like, stop stressing, let the math take care of itself. You just tell the software what dollars your business spends and it takes care of the rest.
Wow, I like that.
So this is what I mean when I say budgeting, which sounds like a lot of people are like, well, I'd rather go to the dentist than learn what budgeting means, but...
But you want to be profitable and you want to build a business at this point too, right?
Yeah.
Realistically, brand new user, you're starting to set up, you get all this going with the assistance from you guys. What's the time frame?
So there's typically 10 to 20 man hours of the owner's time into this.
Yeah.
I like when I see an owner crush through that in the first week. It's totally, I mean, I've seen people crush through it in 2 days.
Okay.
But unfortunately, contractors are the busiest people on the face of the earth. So a lot of times it takes a few weeks to get people. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Until they realize that the benefits attached to it, then they start.
Usually what happens is when a contractor sees how fundamental this is, it's like, I can't bid one more job until I figure this out. That's the mindset that should be coming from a contractor seeing this.
So you're taking this tradesperson hour price now that you've calculated all this, all your overhead, all your expenses, everything, and now you've got a realistic number on what to bid on the next job.
Yep. And what's cool is, let's say, you know, the example I just gave you about the insurance bill just went up, so I went back in and I messed with it. I can apply that change to every estimate that's sitting in my system that hasn't been approved yet.
Just to gauge?
Like, well, basically, like, if any of my unsold jobs. Like, yeah. let's say I've been working on a job. I haven't even sent it yet, but it, like, oh, you know, I was, you know, an outdated budget isn't a wrong budget. Meaning, like, every... Let's pretend that in the last 3 months, your insurance went up, you hired an office admin, you upgraded your truck, all things that impacted what your business spends money on, but you never changed your pricing. Every bid you send out is priced incorrect until you bring that back up to date. Meaning, if I build this budget right here on February 28th, and then I never look at it again for the whole year, I'm bidding jobs based on what was true on February 28th.
Yeah.
But if I never update anything, the job is priced incorrectly.
What are you finding when people do that? Users start adopting this and they go back onto, they were low?
Well, yeah. Well, here, I'll tell you a story. So Nick Conley, friend of mine, he was one of the first contractors to come on to Synced Up. He built his first budget here when he was an $800,000 business. He was being profitable. He built his budget and he was being profitable. He grew really quickly, went to a $1.6 million business inside of a year.
Wow.
What do you think happened to his overhead?
Went down.
It went, well, his overhead total dollars, it went up.
What, as he was growing?
Yeah. So from an, basically, as
no, when I say went down, I meant the consumption of it, how much he was actually spending in ratio to the
growth. In ratio, I don't remember. But the dollar, basically, he was spending, instead of $200,000 a year on his $800,000 business that he was spending on overhead, it was more like $500.
Yeah.
You know, so what happened is every bid he was sending out was priced not for profit because it was based on an out of date budget. And so
what happened?
Yeah. So what happened is he didn't even think about it until he started having cash flow issues. And so fortunately it was a quick fix. We're like, well, yeah, your budget's a year out of date. And so we went back in, well, yeah, insurance went up. You hired this, you bought this, and we fixed it. And then the very next bid he was sending out was actually priced for profit again. The point I'm making is an outdated budget. Budgeting is not enough. You also have to keep it up to date.
Yeah.
And so it basically, it comes back to the adage of every dollar your business spends that's not in that budget, what was supposed to be your profit goes to pay for it.
But everybody, contractor-wise, is going in, it could be a year or two in the past, with this profit percentage, and they're sticking with that.
Right.
But they're not realizing, hang on a sec, we did, I don't know, twice as many projects this year.
Right.
That
which impacts this.
100%.
Yes.
But you can't keep that same profitability percentage at that point. You have to grow it and then also fluctuate with it.
It will fluctuate.
Every single one, right?
Yeah.
It has to. So he saw that as soon as he set it up.
Yeah, right. Oh, it was in plain sight. You know, the fact that as soon as he came back into his budget, he's like, oh my goodness, all this change, this change, this change. So we had to go down through
this. Did he have a hard time? Was his estimate number dramatically higher for the clients that he was presenting to? Or was it...
Well, he was not charging enough. It was too low.
Yeah, it was too low, right? So he quickly realized that he was actually missing out on profit.
Significantly, yeah. He was basically... He was in the position of going backwards, you know.
Which happens to a lot of contractors, right?
All the time.
They don't really... Because they're not aware.
Because here's what happens, you know. Attention. You're in the off season. You sit down one day and you do your napkin math or you do a spreadsheet. And you're like, okay, I need, as a business, to charge $90 an hour. Cool. Well... Back to my example, then you buy a truck, then you hire an office admin, then your fuel goes up, then you do this, and then you do that. Well, guess what? That $90 an hour is no longer correct.
Yeah.
It could go down. It could go up. Most of the time it goes up.
What are you seeing, Weston? Like, I'm just curious, what is the going rate these days that contractors are in their mind thinking their profit percentage is,
but
what reality profit percentage is?
Most contractors think they make between 10 and 20% net profit.
Not really?
Yeah. They think they make that, and the reality is closer to 2 to 5.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So that's a hard pill to swallow.
It is.
When you hear that from when you analyze, if someone outside analyzes it. That's what Synced Ups is doing here.
They're, I mean, it gives you the ability to say, I want to make 20%. Okay, we're going to get you 20%.
This is how we do it.
Yeah. You know. And the other thing I haven't touched on yet is the importance of paying yourself as the owner. Like, I mean, this is just business 101. You cannot be running a business with your, you can't be living personally out of your business checking account. Like, you got to have two separate accounts. Number one, two, get QuickBooks, you know, run accounting.
You're an employee.
Yeah. And then three, pay yourself a normal market rate salary from the business checking to your own personal checking, just like an employee.
Yep.
Because that's, it depends what, you know, I know we're in Canada here, I'm from the States. So
no, it's how you set up your business. That's how it is.
But the legal, in the US, it's called guaranteed owner's draw, or, you know, guaranteed payments.
Yeah.
But the idea is what happened. Well, what happens for a lot of contractors is, like, they're not paying themselves, or they're using the company card to fuel their truck, whatever. Like, they're not paying themselves and they're kind of living off the business checking account. And what happens is then let's say it's $1 million business and it makes $100,000 in net profit. Cool. Looks good on the surface, except that you're the owner. You're like, I'd like to make $100,000. So you take the $100,000.
Left for the business?
What's left? The business made no money. Zero. You broke even.
Yeah. It's not profitable, right?
And so the point is that you as the owner have to make money, a market rate salary, plus the business needs to make a net profit. Both, if you're an owner operator, both are your money. You get to decide what happens to both. It's just that your business needs to be viable and making a profit after it's paid you.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing is, like, people are sometimes when we're like, okay, cool, I get it. I need to pay myself. I'll put in $40,000. It's like, that's not market rate, you know? And here's my point. This is the way that I like to think about it. Let's pretend that you as the owner operator break your leg tomorrow and you can't go to work. What would you have to pay on the market
to replace,
to get people to do the work that you did on a daily basis?
Yeah.
A lot of owner operators are doing the work of 3-4 people.
Yeah.
You'd have to hire an ops manager, an admin, a sales guy. Like, you know, and so when that happens, it's like, well, market rate of the sales guy is this, market rate of the admin is this, market rate of the ops manager. Well, yeah, whatever those numbers are is what should be in the budget. Yeah. Otherwise the business is getting you for a discount.
And the business is not growing.
It's not producing enough of cash to grow.
Yeah.
And the idea is that the owner should be able to step away from the business at any time, and it's still been pricing its work correctly. It's still viable. It just goes out in the market and hires people to fill those roles. And so that you can be an absentee owner. And so, like, I'm not, you know, let's say you are doing the work of three people and it's an $80,000 person, $100,000 person, a $50,000 person. And you're like, man, that's $230,000. I can't do that. It's like, put it in the budget. I'm not saying you have to take it out of the business, but at least put it in the budget and price your work as if you were.
Based on that.
Yes.
Yeah.
What you take home, whether it's in the business net profit bucket or in your own take home pay bucket, I don't really care. That's up to you. It's still your money both ways. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you? Because obviously you guys have been working with a lot of contractors and you're getting a nice cross section of what they're expending their money on and how they're building their businesses, right? What are some line items that they're maybe putting too much money into, not enough money into? Like, I always thought that most contractors don't spend enough to market and promote themselves well.
Yeah, a lot of I'm kind of seeing it now, like with the post-COVID economy, you know, it's like,
we got to work now. We got to
present ourselves. Yeah, it's like word of mouth and referral probably isn't going to be enough for all the contractors out there, you know? And so suddenly the chatter you're seeing in Facebook groups now is marketing, leads, you know? And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a bad place to be if you've been relying on word of mouth all this time and now you're trying to start to market. That's kind of a bad place to be. And so the idea is like, market when the times are good.
Yeah.
You know? But
business 101. Like, I've seen it across the board. Yeah, not
that's
just
any business.
Soon as the market or things are getting a little tight, the first thing you slash is marketing and promotion. And I'm like, I've always argued saying that should be the last thing
that's
you
backwards.
Slash.
Yeah. And what you should be focusing on is efficiency. How can we produce more for less?
Yes.
And that comes back to the idea of, like, let's say that I come over to this section over here and I see the man hour rate and I'm not happy with it. I'm like, I can never charge that in my rate. My competitors charge 30% less than that. I'll never get it. Well, first of all, I believe most jobs are not won on price.
Yeah.
It's trust and credibility.
Yeah.
So
100%.
But leaving that aside for now, if you get to the end slide here and you look at that man hour price and you're like, that's way too high. I'm not comfortable with that number. Okay. You got one choice, two choices, cut expenses or be more efficient.
Yeah.
Do more.
You can go right back into do that.
Yeah. And so if I don't like that number, I got one choice. I can come back here to this overhead tab or the equipment tab and start deleting stuff or modifying stuff. and then doing without, cutting those expenses. And then guess what? It's going to, like, it's based on numbers instead of my own perception of what I'm worth or what I should be charging. Like, and that's the beauty of this, is when it's based on numbers, it's like there's no emotion to it.
Well, you can go back into those other categories. You can go, listen, let me do my own homework and let me figure out where I can get a better rate for this. It doesn't stop you from purchasing a different vehicle, different 100%. Gear, as long as it produces the end product that you need it from.
Yeah.
But that also goes along the whole line, like better insurance rates, better marketing expenses, better like all that kind of stuff.
So many times when you go through this exercise, I've been like, wow, we are spending this much money on X, Y, Z. And then you have those opportunities to go cut expenses. You know, just a sheer, like, forcing yourself to go through that process of looking at every dollar your business spends is so insightful. And you're like, dude, I'm going to go shop this out.
You said earlier, like, most contractors don't do it until the bank account starts to become empty.
And the really sad part is by that time, much of the time, it's too late.
You know, you're treading.
It's very, very difficult to come back from that. You can. People fight through it, but it is difficult.
It's more challenging. Yeah. And then you get the stressors, and then
then
the business is either struggling very difficultly. And
in your own head, like how you view your own business, and the, you know, it just messes with you. You know, you're in a scarcity aspect instead of like let's plan. You know, and the other thing I would say is that in my own story at Tusky Landscaping is what I saw play out over the 15 years I worked there is, let's say we went from making 2-5% net profit to 10-15% net profit just by fixing our math, this budgeting thing.
Okay.
We squeezed just as much juice out of the lemon by putting the same degree of effort into where can we be more efficient, staging materials, how we run our production, how we plan, how we do our prep work, how we do our job closeout process. You know what? It doesn't make sense for us to send guys to go pick up material. We're going to pay their $250 delivery fee because that's cheaper. Because you know, all of these things, like there is just as much profit to be squeezed out of efficiency gains.
I agree.
As there is in fixing the math.
Yeah.
And so when you put those two together, you can get double digit net profit very quickly without, this is what's crazy about it. The efficiency thing, the more efficient you are, your price actually goes down. I know people that charge $150 an hour that can actually do a job for cheaper than somebody that's charging $90 an hour because they're so much more efficient.
In all respect, though, Weston, it's like, should you drop your price, though? If it's competitive market,
no,
you shouldn't, right?
No.
You're just making more profit at that point because you figured out how to be more efficient in the business.
Well, and here's the thing. Let's say it takes a $90 an hour guy 100 hours to do the work, where it might take the $150 an hour guy 70 hours to do the work.
Yeah.
And so the price is the same, but the one is making way more profit. But their hourly rate is also higher.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of this weird thing of like efficiency is a huge lever that you can pull that often gets a little overlooked.
But what's okay, the massive takeaway to here is that as a contractor, as a business owner, being aware of it.
Yeah. You can't fix what you don't know.
Because going into this, you weren't aware of it. You were just assuming, right? And that's a lot of business owners. You're just having all kinds of assumptions, Monday to Friday, Saturdays and Sundays, all kinds of stuff. Now that you're aware of it, you can start factoring in how to deal with it.
Yeah, right. And to, you know, I forget, did I say it on the podcast here where the two problems contractors had is the math and the production output? Yeah. Because once you've done this math part, then you can go to the actual job, and let's pretend that this is a job that I'm looking at in, like, let's say this job is maybe, it's, let's say 80% done. We're almost done. I can come into this analysis section and see
where you're at,
where I'm at in real time. And
I like that.
I can tell you a little story from our days at Tussie that kind of highlights the point I'm trying to make here. So I was a crew foreman, like I was leading the job, the project. And in the old days when we were still in the spreadsheets and paper and four different systems like I was describing, what would happen is I'd do the job and then 6 weeks later, I'd get a phone call from the sales guy after he'd done done all his spreadsheeting and paperwork and be like, hey, we didn't do so great on this job. Like, why do you think that is? Because I don't want to screw up the next bid for the next job like it. Yeah. Like, why do you think that is? And by that, I was a foreman and I'm like, you know, I might have a decent answer for you, but I'm scratching my head saying that was 6 weeks ago. I don't remember. Like I'm off to the next thing.
Yeah.
Well, after we got this estimated versus, so what happened is we started bidding jobs inside of SyncedUp, but then we were also tracking hours and material consumption inside of SyncedUp. So we had live estimated versus actual. And so the script completely flipped. And before the job was even done, I, as the foreman, was calling the salesperson saying, hey, just so you know, 75 degrees, the sky is blue, a light breeze, everything's perfect. And we're making killer time on this job. And we still don't have enough hours in this job. Just want you to know that.
You're calling him or them to tell them this is where we're going to end up.
Yeah.
Before you even end up.
We're going to be 20% over on this job. And I know before we even done. And what's cool about that is the quality of learning is exponentially better because your ability to react and respond and be like, oh, I get it. And like, I can give the salesperson much better clues and indicators as to why. Like, well, this actually took a lot longer than you anticipated on the bid. Or I can give really good answers that really enable the company as a whole to make mistakes less often and not repeat them.
So that's done, Weston. As you input, it's constantly being
I'm clocking done. In and out so I can get paid as an employee of the company. And in the meantime, that's getting attributed to what section of the job it's going to. And it gives me that estimated versus actual. Yeah. And then what's cool about that is this is what would sometimes happen. And we're like, well, hey, we're already on site. This equipment's there. We could probably upsell them. Let's try upselling them a bubbling rock, like a fountain.
Yeah.
$7,500 high. It's a high dollar item. And we can probably add it without even really adding another production day to the job site. We just throw two more guys at it and we got it. And so we do stuff like that. And we'd lessen the blow, so to speak. Like we'd know before we even left the job what was going to happen. And so we'd find creative ways.
So you can create an estimate within the actual invoice, right?
Yeah. So what I would do sometimes as the foreman is I just open up my mobile app and maybe I was collaborating with a salesperson and we just create a change order and be like, hey, you know, hey client, I was thinking about, you know, we're doing this beautiful patio. The landscape's all here. What would you say about adding some lighting and a small fountain here off the corner? And sometimes we were able to do those kinds of upgrades without even adding a production day to the job.
So the value to your the overall project
went up.
Is extreme.
And the profit of those add-ons was much higher because we were already mobilized.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what happened is we could kind of almost in real time respond and lessen the blow to the mistakes we'd make and then not make the mistake again.
Because you already have the job, you've been awarded, you're already working, everything's run smooth, you already called back, told everybody that this is all going well, it's great. We had a thought.
Yeah.
Let's add the thought, let's present it,
yep.
They'll approve it. Yep. Now let's add the scope.
Yep.
And now we're actually making a little bit more profit on what we've already started
even with. Even though we still lost money or whatever on the original thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And in my best year as a foreman, I sold over $300,000 worth of add-ons. And it was literally like, because I, in the client's eyes, I was not a salesperson. They cared what I thought. And so like, what do you think? You know, it's like,
oh, of course,
you know, it's like, yeah. And so it was like, hey, I think you would love this with some lighting. This will change the way you live out here in this outdoor living space.
So with this, like knowing that most contractors are living in that 2-3% profit range, they should actually be to the 10-20.
Yeah, at least 10-20.
By actually organizing and getting on board with the whole synced up thing, they're getting closer to 10 and 20.
Like, oh, absolutely.
Easily,
there's
right?
There's even people that are doing over 30.
Really? Huh?
In net, which is insane.
Because now they're seeing exactly what's happening. They're aware of everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you can't fix what you don't know is broken.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, I mean, picture, this is another analogy I use. Let's say that you're a contractor, because this can happen where, let's say you are aware of the math problem, and let's say you are budgeting or you've done a really good job with spreadsheets, and you actually are pricing your work on paper, math, correctly.
Okay.
But then you are not tracking your actual, let's say you bid the job for 100 hours, but it actually took you 150. What happens? You lose money.
Yeah.
But let's say you weren't tracking. You just maybe, yeah, it took an extra day, but we got it done, whatever. And we keep on going to the next one. It's a little bit like you, I don't know, you set a rifle down on a sandbag at a shooting range and you put the crosshairs right on the bullseye, squeeze off the shot, never look where you hit. Chamber another round, squeeze off another shot. You never look where you hit.
Yeah.
And you do that over and over and over and over again. You could be completely missing the target and not knowing it. And you can't fix what you don't know is broken. The moment you look, you're like, oh, I'm 2 inches down and 1 inch to the left. Let me crank, course correct and adjust. Now I'm hitting the bullseye. And so the idea with job costing or looking at estimated versus actual is, am I hitting the bullseye or not? And if I'm not, where and why? And if you can answer the question why, I mean, that's predictable profits. You know, if you're not looking, it's impossible to fix.
So going forward, when you started getting this to market and guys and girls were actually starting to use it, was it easy for them to grab it? Like, were they getting it at first?
So what I see is people the whole math problem, like the budgeting thing, is pretty easy. Like that's sit down on a snowy winter day and you get it done.
Clear your head.
Yeah.
Focus.
You get it done.
That's it.
Where contractors do struggle, it is a philosophy adoption, is the discipline of tracking hours and let me explain this. Like, so this is what's happened already in contractors that say, yeah, I want synced up. I want this in my business. They come on, they get the budget. Awesome. We got the math done. They start bidding jobs. Let's say 100 hours. And they're like, my guys don't want to try. I know how long it took me to do that job. I'm like, it's fine. And they never look. And so what happens is, or they'll say, my guys, they don't want to clock in and out on every job. And so I'm not making them. They just text me their hours on Friday and I pay them. And it's like, you are shooting yourself in the foot. Like, it's impossible to do what I was just saying. And so the way I play a pretty hard line on this is like, listen, dude, if your guys are not clocking in and out, like, you need to have it in your company policy that for you to get paid, you have to tell me where your hours went to.
Exactly.
And if you don't clock in and out, well, I'm sorry, man, I can't pay you. Yeah,
you never clocked in. Yeah. So then I don't know how many hours you did.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter if you
and I don't really mean that to sound like you come down and play hardball with your employees. It's not what I mean. Like, the way I like to describe it is start off on common ground. Like, let's say you have a company meeting, your team's all there, you're getting ready to kick off the season, and you're like, hey, common ground. We all want to make more money, right? Absolutely we do. The obvious answer to that is yes.
Yeah.
Well, for us to do that, this company has to be turning a profit on its work. For us to do that, we have to know our numbers.
Yeah.
For us to do that, we have to know exactly how many hours and materials went into every job.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, we're going to do that by clocking in and out of this app. And if you present it in such a way where the employees can understand the why and the big picture, it removes so much of the pushback.
What other little toys you got on there?
Well,
I mean, because obviously you guys are also a think tank where you guys are thinking about, you're getting feedback.
Oh, right? Yeah. 100%.
So obviously people are letting you know.
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure out how to even improve what's already being improved, right?
Yeah. So what I've been showing you is a lot of the know your numbers stuff, the budgeting, the estimating, and the job costing.
Yeah.
So, but there's more. I mean, obviously you're running a business, you're doing consultations or sales appointments, you're scheduling jobs, you're sending quotes out to customers. Yeah. Like, so really Synced Up is this operations product, you know, project management software where you can enter in new leads from that you get from your website or any marketing ad channels you have. You can schedule appointments, sales appointments, consultations, we call them, right with them right there in the software, which then turns into an estimate, which you then send off to the customers a proposal. Which they can, you know, I'll just show you one. Let me see if this one. So if I go into the proposals, I can see this proposal right here where the customer can approve or reject any individual line item. So you can do good, better, best scenarios and quotes. Mm. And then they can approve and sign and pay right there. Mm. And so, and then coming back to this is like, then you, once the job gets sold, you get your down payment. It then goes to the calendar where you schedule the job and assign it to someone out in the field or to yourself if you're a small one-man show. Then you track the time out in the field. And finally, you invoice and analyze the job, like on the costing analysis. So it's this whole like lead through invoicing workflow.
Yeah.
But while we're doing that lead through invoicing workflow, we want to make sure of two things. The math is right. You're pricing the job correctly. Finally, you might have the job priced correctly on paper, on math, but if it's taking you longer than you anticipated or you're using more material than you anticipated, that's going to wipe your profit out. So we want to know estimated versus actual on every single job in real time because we want to respond. We want to make mistakes exactly one time.
Yeah, you want to meet the client, get their idea of what they want to achieve scope-wise. You want to give them fair market value regarding what the price is going to be. You want to be competitive in the actual market as well too. But more importantly, you want to make profit and you want to make sure that you're tracking all the efficiencies from your workforce and the material that you're getting, right? And what's happening on the job site.
You want to see things like, I mean, let me just give you an example. Like, this is the kind of, if you're paying attention to this, this is the kind of thing that you can learn. You can be like, wow, our unbillable time is off the charts. Hey guys, what's the biggest thing that you're spending time on that's not, well, we have to run 45 minutes to go pick up stone or something. You know what? That whacks us twice. First, we have to pay the person to go get the stuff. And it's also robbing us of the opportunity cost of the production they could be doing if they were on site.
Yeah.
So even though that delivery fee might sound expensive at first glance, it's actually cheaper than me sending an employee to go pick it up.
And that's what you can do here is you can calculate those numbers. Then you can decide on which way to go that's going to be more profitable for you.
Yeah. So it actually helps you make data-driven decisions. Like you're in a jet cockpit and you can see all the instrumentation and you can be like, this is a problem. I can actually be more efficient doing this. Or it actually makes sense for me to replace this truck because of all the repairs I've been putting into the old ones I have. You know, you can start making data-driven decisions instead of gut-based reactionary thinking.
Well, it allows you as a business owner to actually run your business, right? It allows you to sit there and be competitive in the market going, I'm telling you right now, I would be shopping around. I would be talking about, okay, yeah, sure, we need a new vehicle. Let me see what Dodge, Ford, GM, their prices are. Let me see what deals I can get. Let me see who I can approach and what benefits I can get, interest rates or what have you.
Yeah.
What's that all going to cost factor? Then I know exactly the best decision to make based on the numbers, which is going to affect my business.
Yep.
Then I can, you grow that on every single line item.
Yeah.
Do you dread the office? Are you spending your personal time on paperwork? Join the club. The good news is there's a solution that isn't hard or overwhelming. With SyncedUp's estimating and job tracking software, you can plan for it and hit your profit goals all while cutting your estimating time by up to 90%. Do you know where your money is going? Are you sure you're even making money? SyncedUp will show you exactly where your money is going with its simple budgeting tool, revealing those cash leaks so you can take back control of your business. Do you wonder if all those payroll hours are making you money or costing you money? SyncedUp tracks your unbillable labor, helping you optimize for project efficiency and ensuring each job is profitable. At SyncedUp, they're here to help contractors thrive, not just survive. Get a budgeting consultation with a SyncedUp expert looking over your shoulder to help you optimize your company's budget for free using the link in the show notes. If you love what you see, you can use the TCL discount and get 20% off on your first 6 months. Annual plan is required. Just click on the link in the show notes to book your call with the sales team and mention the TCL podcast. Check out SyncedUp.com and at SyncedUp on IG to level up your business.
Yeah, it's all about taking the infrastructure that you create, that you have in your business, and leveraging it to its peak efficiency. So if you have a truck, you want it to be running every day. You know, if you can't be affording to have too many breakdowns. If you have an office admin, well, how can you leverage that person to the fullest? Or you can look at things like, dude, as an owner operator, I'm spending half of my time sending out invoices or doing stuff that I could pay somebody $20 an hour for. And my time is worth $100 an hour.
I should be doing sales.
Yeah, exactly.
Focusing on client relationships. Just
focusing on your highest value.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a book. Have you ever heard? Well, probably most contractors have heard of the E-Myth.
Yeah, of course.
So that book's awesome.
Yeah.
Right after you're done reading the E-Myth, read the book Buy Back Your Time.
I don't know that one.
By Dan Martell. It's a blue cover.
Okay.
And I think that combination of the E-Myth and the Buy Back Your Time is like the contractor formula.
Yeah.
You know, of how to actually succeed at this. And the other thing that putting all this into the software does is, this is another way, like so many businesses run into the owner-operator ceiling. Like you see them rocket up to $1 million or whatever.
About it, yeah,
and,
totally.
And then it's like, bam, smashed into the ceiling. I just can't get over that.
That's all, I know.
That's where the E-Myth and the buyback your time come in, by the way. Yeah. But there is the reality of like, well, how do you duplicate the magic that you know as the owner because of your 20 years of experience, right? How do you duplicate that? How do you buy back your time? How do you delegate that? Well, systems and processes are the keys out of that entrepreneurial prison. And that's the E-Myth right there. You know, you have to have those systems and processes. Without them, you are prisoner to your own business. You own a job, not a business.
It's true.
And so one of those things that contractors tend to not be able to offload is the estimating. They're the only person in the business that can produce a quote for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's beautiful about a system like Synced Up is you can literally turn it into a, it's like doing brain surgery on the owner operator and build templates and production rates that allow them to take what's in their head and their 20 years of experience and put it into a template and production rate in a system and a process that is a repeatable process. Literally, we have synced up customers. This one guy has his 13-year-old son building his quotes and selling them. Like, he built the templates and production rates. He tells his son, hey, use that template. Here's the measurements. Build a quote. And it's as accurate as if he would have done it. Because all the person is doing is inputting measurements.
Inputting, that's all they're doing.
Yeah. And that's what's possible. That's what's possible.
I kind of actually like that. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, like, this is great, Wes. I'd love for you to share. Okay, well, let's talk about what this costs the contractor, right?
The software.
Yeah.
So the software, our average customer spends $4,000 to $5,000 a year.
Okay.
With us. And this is...
Based on how many projects or how many users?
It's based on users. So there's two plans, standard and pro.
Okay.
The standard is $400 a month if you do monthly, or $359. It's 10% off if you do annual.
Yeah.
And the pro is $600 a month or $539.
And the difference between the two pro?
So the difference between the two is on the pro, you get automation. So we integrate with Zapier, so you can do things like... you can build any automation you can dream up, really. But for example, what are some automations you could build up? So let's say that you have a form on your website that's like a quote request form on your website where people can book appointments with you.
Okay.
So let's say your client is on your website, they fill that out. You can build an automation that automatically puts that data and that information into your synced up account. So your phone pings, hey, you got a new lead off the website. You open up your synced up app and it's all right there. All the information is right there. No manual data entry required. That's what Pro can give you. Plus, okay. Pro gives you the... it also gives you the GPS stamps on timesheets, so you can see the exact location of every clock in, clock out, or if they edited the timesheet, where would it
make sense to just go that route, right?
Yeah, I mean it's kind of a no-brainer, but the way it's designed is all of the know your numbers stuff, the budgeting, estimating, and job costing is in the standard. The pro is more of like scaling automations, like just like you're running a true company, not an owner operator model.
Can you start with the standard and at some point
you can change anytime you want
and go from there? Yeah. Right. So it's not a crazy amount of money at that
point. No, I mean, most of our customers,
you're going to save that off your first job.
Oh, totally. Plus it's like, put the cost of the software into your budget.
It's part of
your customers
expense.
Paying
it's
for
part
it,
of
not
the
you.
Overhead.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. It's simple as that.
And so it's like most of our customers, like I said, most of our customers spend $4,000 to $5,000 a month a year with us. This is hard to definitively to put into hard data, but from what I'm seeing with our customers, they turn that into a $50,000 to $100,000 in return minimum, just by all the leaking that they shut off.
Yeah.
Then the efficiency of, oh, it is taking us way longer to do that type of work. You know what? It makes no sense. Let's cut that service. We're not making any money at it.
Yeah.
Let's cut that service and turn it to let's turn that freed up production capacity over to our most profitable line.
Or even imagine all the ideas that you can come up with where you can make more money off of things that were just sitting on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like, it's literally a 10 to 20X return. I mean, if it's not, there's something wrong.
Do you want to share the team? I'm curious about the whole team that you guys got going on here. Like, who's involved? And
yeah,
I guess that there's also a lot of tech support or just customer service support.
So we have,
we've got people that are kind of, you're in a bind or whatever, and you got a question to ask, you can reach out to you guys, right?
Yep, that's right. So we have a whole, we have an engineering team. Like, they're the developers that build the software.
Yeah.
We have a customer support team. There's four on the customer support team. And then we have some admin staff and some sales. And one of the things we do in the customer support thing is, like, we know as a contractor, stereotypically, they're working 16-hour days. They're dealing with upset clients, an employee that didn't show up. And so it is hard to take a project like, I'm going to do this software thing in my business. Mm. It is hard to stand that up. So one of the things we kind of do is we do an onboarding process. We call it the synced up success checklist, where we have kind of a mapped out method of how we onboard you. And we do as much of the heavy lifting for you as we can.
Okay.
And we also have, like, we literally have a full-time financial coach on staff whose sole job description is to make sure that you're not messing anything up on that budget that you're building. And in fact, after you build it, we'll schedule a call for every customer that signs up just to have an expert looking over your shoulder to be like, well, what about this? What about that? Have you thought about this? I don't think you're paying yourself enough. Just to make sure that you're actually going to be set up to make yourself some money.
So they're not contributing to helping you along the way to set it up. They're there contributing to keep you, give you ideas on how to better your business. A little bit of both?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so then
that's smart. I like that.
Because like it's like you could budgeting, you can tell a budget anything you want it to. It's got to be grounded in reality.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what we're looking. We're bringing our seasoned veterans in to look over your shoulder to be like, this is maybe the first time you ever built a budget. Let's make sure it's actually grounded in reality. And then it's like, well, then, you know, the brain surgery analogy I gave you, like take that brain surgery of all this 20 years of experience that's in your head and put it into systems and processes.
Exactly.
So that's where the rest of the team steps in, and what they're doing is like, this is me building a template, right? You're using a template to build a work area. So I create a new work area. Let's say I'm doing a patio. I open my catalog browser. I go to my templates. I have a patio template there, and I just drag and drop that in. And this is what I was describing earlier. I drug that template of my patio template into this work area, and bingo, everything I need to do a patio is right there. And all the descriptions are already there. Links to the products are already there. Internal work area notes and descriptions are already there.
But are you guys providing this? Or you?
So what we're helping you do is essentially translate your current process of how do you bid a job now? Okay. We want to understand how it is that you're bidding a job now.
What you're missing.
And help you set that up in templates and production rates that can take your quote building process from hours to minutes. Hmm. And plus your 13-year-old son could do it, or your office admin could do it. You know?
No, I tell you right now, people are listening. They're probably thinking about all their kids, just like who I can give them little weekend tasks to do and see if they'll just embrace them. They'll probably embrace it really easily and then go, okay, fine. What are we quoting on that job?
Yeah. You know,
over dinner or something like that. That'd be hilarious to have that. I love that.
But what's cool about the template that I have here on my screen is, let's say that I know from my 20 years of experience that it would take me 150 hours. Well, how do you know that? I don't know. I just know. But that's not duplicatable. You can you can't hire a salesperson and transfer that knowledge. But what I can do is like, okay, so you're telling me this 400 square foot patio is going to take 150 hours. Okay, let's do the math. What's the production rate on that? Like, so, okay, so that means X square feet per 1 man-hour production. Cool. Now I can turn that into an input of 400 square feet. Bingo. There's my output of how many hours it's going to take. That anyone that can run a tape measure can use.
I like that, man.
And that's systems and processes.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, man. I like that you can literally do it from a small item to the biggest item. You can just capitalize on every little detail, every line item that you can do.
Yep. Because, and this is just, I mean, I don't know how many hardscape contractors listen to this, but in the hardscape industry, there's a lot of people doing square foot pricing.
Yeah. They'll just walk in, measure it,
and
ballpark it.
And that doesn't work. And I'll give you an analogy why it doesn't work. Let's say you're doing square foot pricing, and let's say it's a 20 by 20 square patio, one side's up against the house, only three sides need edge restraint. Very minimal cuts. You're in and out of there fast.
Yeah.
So you use a square foot pricing and come up with that price.
Yeah.
Cool. Done. Made good money on that because I did it quickly. Let's go take that same square foot price over to a sidewalk that's curved and it's 100 foot long and it's 4 feet wide. Same square footage.
Three times.
It's going to take double as long. Yeah. You know? And so that's why square foot pricing doesn't work. And that's why in templates and production rates like this, you can be like, well, it's going to be, I can factor in my cutting labor. I can factor in like literally every variable. And so then I can do the math and be like, well, yeah, that works out to $42 per square foot. Well, actually that job worked out to $37 per square foot. It's the variables that make up that difference. Yeah. And so when you have a variable that's going to take you more time or cost you more money, that needs to be reflected in the bid. Otherwise you're going to make bank on some and make nothing on others. When you try to do blanket rate, you know, square foot pricing.
I'd love for you to share a little bit more about future planning.
With Synced Up?
Yeah.
As a company?
As a company. Like, start predicting now. Now that you've actually shown them that you can get rid of that plateau.
Yeah.
And you can start growing your business. How would you guys first start tackling that and showing the users that here's opportunities that you guys should be considering for your business?
The first thing I would look at is, what are lines of work that are the lowest net profit? What are the lines of work that are highest?
Sacrifice them.
Yes.
And then focus on the highest.
And also, let's look at things like you have, say, 15 guys in your company on the crew. And you have all the challenges of maintaining a workforce, people not showing, you know, all those things. What would happen if we bought a $100,000 machine that would allow us to go from a 5-man crew to a 3-man crew?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just like that, you start looking at it analytically and looking at it from a numbers oriented perspective. And you start looking at, like, it comes back to this pursuit of how can we be more efficient?
Yeah.
And things like managing your workforce more effectively. Like, I can give you an example at Tussey Landscaping where I was working as a foreman, you know, to that thing of going out and picking up materials. Our supply yard was literally just 2 miles up the road. And so it was very easy to just say, like, oh, I need to get this, I need to get that. And we just go up there and get it. And, oh, there's three other guys in the truck with me, right? And when we made the realization that, you know what, this does not make sense, we actually kind of switched our internal policy as a company, and we're like, hey, team, your time needs to be spent on site working as much as possible.
Yeah.
I don't care if you pay $500 for a delivery fee, you need to be working. And so in 1 year, I went from visiting the supply yard a couple times a week to I could count on one hand how many times I was there the whole year.
Hmm.
And that made a huge difference in how much production we could crank out in the same year with the same team, with the same equipment. And it was just one lever we pulled. And yeah, there's dozens of those levers in every business, you know, and it makes such a big difference.
And I guess once they do it and they realize it and they input it, they get that 13-year-old son or daughter to work on it. It's just like a no brainer at that point. Yeah. Right.
And
they,
that's
like,
when you actually own
it sooner.
It's when you, when people finally get through the inertia of changing habits and stop doing it the old way, every last one of them says, man, I can't believe I waited this long to do it. And I don't know how to, I wish I could take a chip and put it into every contractor's brain and be like, it's going to be so worth it. But I can tell you this, after, you know, working with hundreds of, coming close to 1,000 contractors now with Synced Up, it is easier to continue doing what you've always done, even if that method or system is broken.
Yeah.
And
that's construction.
Yeah. And so
unfortunately,
you see a contractor that takes 3 hours to produce a quote every time, and he's missing dinner, he's up late at night producing that quote, and if he
calculator
just
calculator and a notepad and just putting the numbers together.
And if he just took that one Saturday afternoon, let's say, and built those templates, he could take that 3 hours down to 10 minutes.
They're a stubborn bunch sometimes, right? Like, that's the problem with them.
Well, here's the thing.
Because they've been so successful for so long and doing so well, and they love what they do, but they don't realize where there's more possibilities.
Yeah, and it's like, it's this thing of like, well, I've never seen a template go together, so I'm not sure. Like, and so there's that cloud of haze of the unknown, and we just revert back to the known, even if that's more painful.
You almost have to, like, get them on the job site and get them virtually walking through this experience for them to understand it. I mean, that's a lot more challenging to do that.
Yeah.
But that's the majority of construction, where they look at it and they go, okay, now I get it. Like you were saying, you're sitting in the car, you're sitting in the truck, but two people were just doing nothing.
Right.
It was just wasting time, their efforts. There should be on the site. Production should have been moving forward.
Yeah.
Right. So it's until they see it that way, I guess it's to connect from on paper to on site.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's a cause and effect when they start realizing, hang on. And I think you got to do that one first job. You got to pull off that very first job with a new quote, new system, new everything, and realize, oh, hang on a sec, this made us more money.
Yeah.
And we finished the job sooner.
And now my office admin can do a quote for me. And like, dude, I cannot tell you. This is the only, I don't know. I'm always optimizing for a way to better portray the information. But like, every contractor is like, I cannot believe, I wish I'd have done this from day one. And at day one, though, it feels like, well, it doesn't make sense to buy the software. I don't even, you know, and it's just the chicken and egg, you know, scenario.
Yeah.
And, but what ends up happening is we end up building prisons for ourselves. We're slaves to our own business without even really realizing it. And we're not even really realizing what's possible until you start looking at things objectively instead of, like, what's easiest. You know, and what we've started doing is even in our sales process, when people start signing up for the software, we're like, we just call it out. We're like, hey, I know you're excited right now. This is the most excited you've been in a long time. Just know the moment will come in the coming days where you're going to be like, I need to get this quote out to this customer tonight yet. Let me just do it my old way. That moment is not a matter of if it'll come, it will come. And just commit to yourself right now that you're going to push through that brick wall, because on the other side of that brick wall is freedom.
Canadians and Americans doing the same problems.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is common to mankind. I'm assuming it is. Yeah, it's exactly. Common to mankind. Yeah.
Exactly. It's just you're a tradesperson, you're a contractor, yeah. you're in this boat. We're all in the same boat.
Yep.
With no oars. I know. I get it. We understand it, right? It makes sense. That's why it's just like you don't need a border to explain that.
No.
This is our problem, your problem, everybody's problem.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Yeah. And you can solve it. It's very easy to solve.
It is. That's what's beautiful about it. It is a solvable problem.
Yeah.
We are our own worst enemies in our own as owners, you know. That's just owning a business. That's what it is. You know, it's like we are. But the truth is here is, you know, even 30 years ago, a lot of the principles that are in the software, the automated overhead recovery, like Charles Vanderkoy and multiple overhead recovery, that was all like cutting edge kind of methodologies and information. Today, what you would have had, like, well, there's a local landscaper in my own market in Pennsylvania that back in the day, I think paid 20 grand. I don't remember what the number was. A huge amount of money to have, I think it was Jim Houston.
Okay.
Come out to, which worked with Vanderkoy for a while.
Okay.
Come out to his business, set up an old ancient, well, today it's old and ancient. Back then it was cutting edge, state of the art, computer system that worked on DOS that had this overhead recovery methodology that's on this software built into it. And he spent, days teaching him how to estimate with the thing. And he'd put in his hours and his materials and then hit enter and walk away and make a cup of coffee while the thing did its computing and came back and looked at it. Today, that information is free.
Yeah.
And the point I'm making is with the internet, knowledge is no longer the bottleneck. 30 years ago, knowledge was the bottleneck. Today, with the internet and YouTube and all the free tools out there, knowledge is no longer the bottleneck. The bottleneck is us.
We're resistant.
Yeah, putting it in practice.
That's it. Simple as that.
And you know, you can do all this stuff that I've been talking about, like with the budgeting and estimating. You can do all this for free off of our free tools on our website. Like, you can go build a budget. Obviously, you don't have the expert looking over your shoulder and all that for free. Yeah. But, like, you can do this for free. So the point is the math, all this methodology is free. You can do it yourself. And that's what I recommend people that are literally just selling their first job to do. We have a little video-based course that I made called How to Price My Job. HowToPriceMyJob.com. You can go like literally, you pay $200 one time for the course, but then you can literally be doing the math correctly manually. And the software...
It's worth it.
Yeah, the software just automates it.
It makes a lot of sense, man. Is there anything else you want to share before we wrap it up and get to the 12 questions? I think we covered quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, this has been fun. I hope it's been fun for you.
No, this makes a lot of sense, man. it makes a lot of sense. I think guys should be reaching out to you and just checking it out, or at least going online and take a look at it. Obviously, the app is on the App Store on both platforms, right?
Yeah,
everything. And then the website as well, too, right? So,
yeah.
Again, I want to share www.syncedup.com. You can reach Weston at weston@syncedup.com. Phone number to reach them is 814-383-1900. And on IG, you can get them at syncedup, and then also on Facebook and LinkedIn.
Yeah, if you want to reach me directly, I'm most active on the Synced Up Instagram profile.
On the Instagram, you're the one that's handling that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Well, that's the one that I kind of want to have that channel of that accessibility or that.
Still do mine, but there's a couple of parties that are attached to it as well, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like if you call the phone number, you're going to get our team, right?
Yeah.
But if you want to talk to me, come on Synced on the Instagram. That'll be me.
You ready for this?
Yeah. Let's go.
What's your favorite construction word?
Systems.
Least favorite tool.
A shovel.
That tool will never go away.
Yeah, I know.
That will never. It's always been the exact same. It's never changed. It's never been redesigned.
For thousands of years.
It's never gonna go away. What construction sound do you love?
I love a diesel engine in a pickup truck pulling a piece of equipment up over a mountain.
Yeah, I like that sound. That's a good sound. Favorite beverage?
Coffee.
What's the worst and best part about construction?
Well, the worst part is dealing with hopelessness. Like if you feel like you just can't win, you just can't get ahead. Like things are another upset client, another employee issue or whatever. Like that's the worst part. But that's business. That's life. The best part, I believe, is when you can stand back. Like this, this just takes me back to the days when I was building water features. Like when you stand back and you look at that thing and you're like, that is awesome. We built that, you know, and
the sound.
Yeah. And yeah. as a business owner, I think the best part is when you're winning both at business and at home, because so many times, like we have a thing called we say thrive, not survive. That's kind of our mantra, you know,
which is great.
And it's like what happens so many times with these owner operators is, like I said earlier, like missing dinner, trying to get a quote out, dealing with a client or whatever. And the family views the business as competition to get dad. And
it's unfortunate.
I dream of a world where it's commonplace, it's mainstream for contractors to be winning at business and at home, which is going to require systems and processes so they're not prisoner to their own business. You know, they own the business, not the other way around.
I've always said the construction life is great, but don't ever ignore your personal life.
Yeah.
You got to still keep it up too as well.
Yeah.
Favorite curse word? You don't have to swear. Yeah,
I don't.
You don't swear? That's fine. Favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
Well, I just bought a Yukon, like I was telling you, that got stolen up here, and I just got it replaced, but I didn't drive it up here.
But it's such a shame that there's so many vehicles being stolen and then I guess created off right away.
But no, I love that thing. That Yukon is nice. Sweet, man. Yeah.
It's big.
But it is big, but I kind of like big vehicles. But my favorite mode of transport, I grew up biking,
cycling.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I probably have 30,000 miles on a road bike by now. And I kind of dropped off on it the last few years, but I need to get back on it.
Did you ever get into the mountain? Like any?
I did some, never quite as aggressively as I did the road biking. But yeah, mountain biking is
awesome. The potential of falling off is far greater than on a road.
This is true.
Road is always like you find that groove and you're just hitting it right.
Yeah.
When you're going through the woods and everything and there's like that one little
pebble,
just something, the potential of going and then all of a sudden knee surgery, you know, like being in traction.
That's the adrenaline rush of it, though.
Yeah, I know too many people that have gone through that. That's why I was like, no, I like road.
Yeah,
I'll deal with the cars that are really close to me.
Right,
I like road. What do you miss from your childhood?
I did a lot of hunting, a lot more than I do now, with my dad and uncles. And, those are probably some of my favorite memories from my childhood.
The conversations.
Yeah.
The chit chat.
Yeah. It's the social aspect of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Well, this is, so when I was working at Tusky Landscaping, I started the social media and the content creation at Tusky as well.
Okay.
And so I really kind of got on to producing film, and I love producing a piece that makes people feel the story, like they evoke the emotion, you know?
Yeah.
So I really love filmmaking. Like it kind of tickles my creative itch, so to speak. And one time actually in 2019, I went down to Colombia and followed an ichthyologist, which is I think a fish scientist, into the Rio Negro in the Amazon jungle looking for freshwater species of fish. And long story, but this was connected to my career with aquascape, water features, right? Yeah. But like, so I went along and filmed, and the editing is half done, a documentary. And so
how far back are we talking about here?
When I went?
Yeah.
That was 2019.
Okay. All right.
And so I created a 10-minute trailer of the trip, but I want to do a full length, like 45-minute doc.
Did you post it online already?
I did not, but I can.
No, I'd love to see it.
Yeah. I'll show it to you.
Send it to me. Yeah.
It was crazy, man. Like this.
How much footage did you shoot?
Oh.
Hours and hours and hours?
Yeah, 2 terabytes.
Wow.
It's massive. I think the hours was maybe 30 hours of footage total, I think, in a few days.
So there's a doc there, right?
It's a full doc. Yeah. And what was crazy is we chartered this, you know what a DC-3 plane is?
Yeah.
It's like the World War II era, you know? Yeah. Well, down there in those Colombian jungles, they use those for transport. Like, basically, they bought them up, and they use them, the government uses them to get supplies back to these remote villages. And so we chartered one of those things, took off in Villavicencio, Colombia, which is one of the small, it was the closest we could get with a commercial airliner.
Okay.
Chartered the DC-3 from there, and like, I don't know, what's that, 70-year-old plane by now, something like that, you know? And flew for 5 hours. 5 hours in this, like, what felt like a pop can in the air. Landed on a literally in the jungle where it looked like they had just taken a skidder and some equipment and just pushed the trees off to the side and on a dirt runway. And we spent a week back there looking for freshwater species of fish. And then I flew my drone into the river, unfortunately. Worst is the best footage I ever shot in my life that I lost.
Oh, you couldn't get it? You didn't?
It's gone.
Oh, really?
It's gone. Yeah. That was the worst part. The drone is nothing. It's the footage on it.
The footage on it. Exactly. The camera that's on it, man. That's what would have been. Someone's got to invent something.
So, when I have some more, when I'm out of the startup grind, let's say, I'd love to kind of get back into producing some film. And I've even toyed with the idea of doing it in the contractor industry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, highlight these hardworking people. Like, these are salt of the earth people. Like, let's go celebrate them. Let's go tell their stories. Like, I actually would love to do that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What profession would you not like to do?
Oh, this might sound weird because I've been
not on this show.
I've been talking about numbers all day, but I'd hate to be an accountant or it's just like. I want to be out there, hands in the, on the tools.
But this isn't quite accounting. This is kind of repairing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is looking at what's out there and twiddling dials and tweaking things to produce results.
Yeah, that's what it is. Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Well, what I pray he says is, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Man, Weston, thank you very much, man. I love that we went through a bunch of stuff, budgeting, estimating, job costing, CRM, scheduling, project managing, time tracking, invoicing, digital proposal, everything. We went on a bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Everything that's completely 1,000% relevant to the everyday contractor.
Absolutely.
Small shop, big shop, medium shop, one employee, dozens employees, everything.
Everything from one man show to 50 people.
Yeah.
It's literally, you got time and materials. It's like, how can I do this efficiently without losing my life, my personal life?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I want to have fun doing it.
Yep.
And so many times we run into adversity or difficult problems, and the default contractor response is, I'll just work harder.
But you're ignoring the problem.
So
just solve the problem and things will be better.
Yep.
That's all it is.
Yeah. And in this day and age, the beauty of the internet is that, well, information is no longer the bottleneck.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's just you putting it into play.
Totally. Again, they can reach you at www.syncedup.com and Weston at syncedup.com, 814-383-1900, and all over IG, Facebook, and LinkedIn under @syncedup. Thanks, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. This was fun.
That's it. We're out of here, Angelina.